You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Kaylin Haldeman. Welcome, Kaylin.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Kaylin. Nonprofit organizations, by definition, are more socially minded than profit-oriented. But they still need to sustain themselves to survive or maintain their mission. Tell us, really give us kind of the intro to Cultivate for those listeners that may not be familiar with Cultivate.
Sure. You said it better than I could. So Cultivate exists to serve as an incubator for emerging nonprofit organizations. We founded the program in 2018 to work with a small number of really promising young organizations, typically between 0 to 5 years of age, and really give their founders or leaders the toolkit and the building blocks they need to build a really successful nonprofit organization. Like you said, it is not profit-minded, but it's not that dissimilar to running a business. So you really need to understand the operational capacity and best practices needed to create a sustainable organization long-term.
Fantastic. So considering your day-to-day, and I know we got into this a little bit prior to going on air, but tell us a little bit about your day-to-day working with Cultivate and generating new applicants and managing the folks you already have on board.
Sure. So this year we're working with a cohort of 6 nonprofit organizations, which grew from 3 in our pilot year. So pretty significant growth. So it changes week to week. We monthly run a group workshop for the cohort. So that's a time for everyone to come together and walk through the curriculum with us, learning about anything from organizational design to operational excellence, human resource management, and resource development. We also do individualized coaching sessions one-on-one with each of our founders twice per month. So I spend a lot of time interfacing with the leaders of our cohort organizations. But at the same time, as you said, we're building toward our next cohort, which will launch in January of 2020. So I'm out there meeting with other leaders of organizations, philanthropic leaders, people who have an interest in supporting the nonprofit community, really trying to build a community that is more supportive of organizations as they're sort of navigating those early stage roadblocks to growth.
Actually, speaking of stages within the creation of a nonprofit, at what point do these cohorts come to you or want you to help them create and build their mission?
It's a great question. So we have actually worked with a really wide range of organizations in the first 2 years of the program. So we've worked with organizations that have just secured their 501c3, and we've worked with organizations that have been around for 7 years and more. What we've learned is that there's a sweet spot, generally speaking, and rules exist so you can break them, right? But there's a sweet spot in that 2 to 4 years of age for nonprofits where they have their mission, their vision together. They've amassed a community of people who believe in the work that they're doing, but they're still figuring out those specific strategies or organizational design challenges that could make or break them long term. So that's sort of that stage that we like to see an organization come to apply to Cultivate.
So these organizations, that they get to a certain point where they're probably out of capacity for maintaining the momentum that they've built and creating more momentum. And so that's where you're able to step in and counsel these organizations and take some of that workload off?
Yeah. But so the way that I see it is a little bit more like, so often when somebody founds a nonprofit, it's born out of a passion for an issue, but it's also typically oriented toward a program, right? They have an idea for a solution to a really distinct challenge in the community, and that's the nonprofit that they want to start. And for 2, 3, 4 years, it works really well. People are excited that, you know, Charlotte's got that silver bullet mentality that we see things that we like and we think might work, and we grab onto it for a little while. But after that excitement fades away, there's the need to build a real organization behind that program, a real strategy that looks at different development strategies, different revenue models, different ways to attract and retain human resources. So thinking through all of those really important business challenges is why Cultivate exists.
So you have to be very service-minded to be in the position you're in. How did you get started in this career? How did you get started in nonprofit?
Yeah, I actually, I had my first job at a nonprofit organization when I was 16 years old. I lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I just fell in love with a organization working with the homeless community in Center City, Philadelphia. So I joined them as a volunteer and, you know, dug my feet in, quickly got onboarded as a staff member and stuck around there for a couple of years. I was introduced to this concept called radical hospitality there, which is the notion that to build true relationships, you have to see the humanity in another person. You have to extend that radical hospitality to them, regardless of their background. So that nonprofit did something called a Breaking Barriers Dinner, where people from all walks of life would come together and share a meal together. And you would be sitting next to a homeless person, next to a doctor, next to a college student, you know, from all over the city. And to be able to experience that real, genuine community, I think that woke something up in me. So from there, I moved out of the direct service nonprofits to philanthropy. So I worked in grant making for about 5 years, where I really learned how to facilitate that kind of community building from an operational background. So what are the skill sets? What are the organizational design structures? What are the real strategies to allow organizations to make an impact? And I got really interested and nerdy about committee structure for boards of directors and different revenue models and all of the things that you don't necessarily think are tied to that impact on the ground, but you can't do it without them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when someone thinks about starting a nonprofit, that's the stuff they don't keep in mind or mm-hmm. think about, right?
Yeah.
They just want to serve.
Well, and they feel like such separate skill sets, this passion to serve and you know, improve the community and the business-minded
sure.
sense that require, you know, that requires all of those skill sets. But they're really not. They can be so linked to each other and they feed off of each other if you are granted the knowledge base and toolkit to help you actually implement some of those strategies.
No question. I can see how you can help a lot more people if you get the skill sets in implemented.
Exactly.
Early.
And that's why we think it's so important to come alongside really promising nonprofit founders, because they have not only that passion, but we also think it's where the R&D for the nonprofit sector really exists. We, you know, Charlotte has granted a good number of nonprofits in our community, but there's a sophistication to enabling the sector to grow with the expansion of new ideas, innovation, and differentiation that comes with the new class of nonprofit founders. So we really think it's important to be able to navigate that and bubble up the ones that have ideas that could work and help them be successful.
Very yep. good.
That's awesome. What is a framework for a successful nonprofit? What do you teach and how do you get them there?
Yeah, so we have developed a really robust curriculum that's oriented toward 12 monthly modules, and it covers everything from organizational design in the first few months. So that's looking at your mission, your vision, and your values. So who are you and how are you attracting people to the work that you're doing? And then program design, what's the theory of change for how are the activities that you're implementing each day driving those impacts that you seek to have in the community? From there, we move into the operational, you know, the processes, procedures, the handbooks, all of the boring stuff that enables you to do that work well, into human resource management. So it's a very extensive curriculum. We're looking at board of directors, volunteers, staff structures, responsive to that design of the organization, right? So not every organization is the same, and they need to think through really savvy structures that help them accomplish what they want to in the community. And then we spend the back half of the year, so 6 months fully on resource development,
wow.
thinking through, we've built the box of the organization. How are we, it's more of an accelerator at that point. It's right. It's how are we connecting you to the people who care about your cause and will support you.
And what are you looking for in an applicant?
So we have an assessment rubric, you could say. First of all, we have a wonderful panel of community leaders to help us select our cohort organizations. So thank God that job is not on us, because there are so many deserving organizations. But that panel looks for the leadership capacity of the founder of the organization. They look for differentiation from other programs operating in the community. They look for fit of the emerging organization's mission with priorities in the community. For example, economic mobility with leading on opportunity is a big focus right now for Charlotte. So how could the cohort work toward driving some of those outcomes for larger community initiatives? And then finally, the opportunity for impact through Cultivate. So is there the appetite and the self-awareness on the part of the applicant to really know what they could get out of participation in the program.
Fantastic. So beyond raising money and procuring volunteers, what other benefits do nonprofits that work with Cultivate gain?
So the main deliverable from the program itself is a business plan. So a real solid document that outlines strategies for growth for the organization anywhere from 3 to 5 years typically. So there's a platform for organizational development, not just in the year of participation, but following that. But beyond that, I think the biggest gain and what we're hoping to build is a network. So the cohort model is very intentional. We're bringing organizations together to not only learn from the curriculum that NextStage has
developed.
I could see
that would be huge. Yeah.
But from each other. And as we continue to grow the program, the intention is to continue to blow out that community and bring in, you know, more established nonprofit leaders and other founders who aren't participants in the incubator per se. But how can we create a more collaborative and engaged network of nonprofit leaders and founders themselves to help support and share best practice?
So, Kaylin, tell us how folks that are listening to the podcast might be able to get more information on Cultivate.
Oh, great idea. So we actually have launched a really exciting storytelling campaign this year to better tell the stories of our cohort organizations and Cultivate itself. So you can find us online. We have a website now, www.cultivateclt.com. And there we're not only talking about Cultivate, but we're also talking about what makes our cohort organization so special, where you can learn more about them, and how Charlotte as a community can be more supportive of emerging organizations as they're navigating the roadblocks to organizational growth.
So what is the process for applying?
So we have a application process that's open right now. The application is an online form that's available on our website, and applications are due on October 1st. It's a pretty intentional application assessment and selection process because we really want to ensure that the cohort, it has a good culture fit. So within the cohort, there's a good mix and diversity of organizations in terms of life cycle, in terms of mission focus, in terms of diversity of background of each of the applicants. So we're doing interviews and site visits before we bring the selection panels together to make the final decision on the six who will participate.
Wow, the selection panel. How many members are in the selection panel? Are they also members?
So they are leaders from Charlotte's nonprofit and philanthropic community. There are six of them this year on the selection panel from institutions like the Leon Levine Foundation, the Duke Energy's philanthropic arm, the Knight Foundation, the Rehm Prize Fund, and more. Ortho Carolina as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
so all proven commodities there.
Absolutely. No question. We really depend on their ability to assess not only the applicants, but then think about their experience in the sector broadly and try to take a global approach to how can we really sort of pick out those bubble candidates that could make an impact on the sector as a whole.
So regarding the nonprofits that you do accept into the program.
Sure.
How do you maintain that network that you speak so highly of?
So we have a growing alumni network that we're building out. Currently, there are only 3 members because our pilot cohort graduated in January or December of last year. But we'll be adding to it each year, and we're building out networking events and opportunities for engagement. And really, something that we think is a benefit is that even after graduation, our cohort organizations retain access to the resource bank that we've built for Cultivate. So they have access to the curriculum, tools, and templates, and the online community that we're creating.
What's your biggest source for identifying new applicants?
A lot of it's word of mouth.
Okay. The folks that have gone through
serve as great advocates and ambassadors for the program, both through word of mouth, but also through the representation of the success that they're having in the nonprofit community. But we also have great referral partners. Folks like United Way, Share Charlotte, and others have been able to connect us to the newest class of emerging organizations.
That's amazing what you guys do. Really is fascinating. I'm curious how many people apply and then how many people get selected in the program. Is there only 3 slots?
So there were 3 slots in the first year, and we had 25 applicants. And then last year, we given that demand, grew the program to 6 slots, and we had 40 applicants. So there's been growth year over year. It'll be interesting to see where we're at this year. But I think what that really shows is that there is a dearth of resources for nonprofit founders in this community, and a really high expectation. So the demands placed on nonprofits in terms of the overhead conversation about how organizations should be spending most of their income on programming, which is true to an extent, but how are we able to support the capacity building efforts of these organizations, I think, is an emerging conversation for Charlotte and will continue to evolve.
And is there a cost for the nonprofit if they're selected?
No. So the program is underwritten by local funders. So we're very grateful to our partners like the Re-Em Prize Fund in Ortho Carolina, who have allowed us to run the program at no cost to these organizations.
Wow. It's pretty cool. CultivateCLT.com.
Correct. And you can also find us across social media at CultivateCLT as well.
It's awesome.
Very good. Well, Kaylin, we very much appreciate you being with us today and sharing what you're doing, all the great work at Cultivate.
Thank you very much.
And you're a natural here on the podcast. We look forward to maybe having you back in again to help spread the good message. So with that, I'm Scott Pridemore with Mike Hagee. Thank you, Kaylin Holloman with Cultivate.
Thanks so much.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.